In China, robots are being used to minimize the spread of COVID-19 by taking on cleaning and food preparation, jobs that are considered too dangerous for humans. And you can read more of this story in the In the News section up at coasttocoastam.com. And I'll be back in the Coast Air Chair later tonight. Crime writer Alan Warren will be here to discuss doomsday cults from Charlie Manson, Jim Jones, David Koresh, the Solar Temple, Heaven's Gate, even a vampire cult thrown in for good measure. Then in the second half, Marcus Allen is the UK publisher-distributor of Nexus magazine, and he'll reveal why he believes the Apollo lunar landings were a hoax, particularly the myriad seemingly insurmountable problems with taking photographs on the lunar surface. That's Sunday night into Monday morning on Coast to Coast. Back to more of my conversation with Justin Fall and Wes Fall, veteran researcher, filmmakers, and their latest documentary is Higher Entities, The Lost Tapes, right here on Coast to Coast AM. And we are back with filmmakers Justin and Wes Fall. Higher Entities, The Lost Tapes is the documentary. Let me just do a quick summary here. So in the early 1940s, Jack Parsons of the Jet Propulsion Laboratory performs this ritual, the Babylon Working Ritual. He opens up this portal, interdimensional portal, because he is a devotee of Aleister Crowley. And he thereby allows these interdimensional entities into our world. Shortly thereafter, we have the modern-day UFO phenomenon. We have Roswell in 47. We have the Kenneth Arnold sightings. We have the flyover Washington in 53. And then there is some sort of an exchange, an agreement made between President Eisenhower and the Nordics and the Greys. We get a certain amount of technology, and these interdimensionals basically get left alone to do whatever it is that they wish to do, including alien abductions and so forth. Then we have this FBI document, 6751, that was unearthed from the FBI vaults by Chad Riley, which basically states that the FBI knows, the government knows, that these are not extraterrestrials. They are interdimensionals. So, Wes or Justin, whatever happened to Jack Parsons? I mean, was any consideration ever given to closing this portal?
Well, unfortunately, he blew himself up.
Jack Parsons blew himself up at the. Was it an accident? Was it on purpose?
Yeah, it was an accident. 1952 rolls around, and matter of fact, this 1952, he's in his own lab, and there's an accident, and he blows himself up. Now, in this, in the practices that he was involved in, there was a belief that whoever opens the portal, they're the same one that has to close the portal, and he unfortunately blew himself up by accident before he had a chance to try to close that portal. I'm not saying that he would have tried to close it, but that's the story. He died.
And were there others that were trying to close it? Did anyone step up from the Collins elite and attempt to close it?
We don't have any evidence of that. By any means. Matter of fact, when the Collins elite began to make their rounds, they found out that there were, how can I say this? This is going to sound absolutely crazy, but the Collins elite began to recognize people in the government, in their own organizations, that were engaging in satanic rituals. They were engaging in these things very much like what Jack Parsons was doing. And it's very likely that they began to study the writings and the works of Parsons and Hubbard and Crowley, because they began to take part in their own types of satanic rituals in order to make communication with higher entities themselves. Now, we need to move into that. I think people are going to want to know more about that and what was going on with the government and what they were doing specifically with some of these entities and how they were making contact. But it's important to note that this is not just a one-time isolated event. We really wanted to reach out and get as many connections with as many people as we could to validate the fact that there are still today various government programs working in the deep underground military bases with entities. That was one of the things we really wanted to look into with this project, not just the Collins Elite, but what we would call other groups that are similar to the Collins Elite, because it's interesting that when a group of government agents begins to embark on satanic rituals for their gain, that there's going to be some people that are not going to go along with it. And so that's kind of what we've been finding out. Wes wanted to briefly hit on Tom Horn, yes. Another guy we interviewed whose brother-in-law worked for Los Alamos.
We definitely need to bring everything current because I know we're probably coming close to the end. But I just want to throw some. I want to validate a little bit of what we've been talking about because it sounds pretty fantastic if you sit back and you listen to this. I mean, it sounds really really wild. But when we were interviewing Tom Horn, he wrote a book called Ex of Vaticana, and it's a phenomenal book. I recommend that your listeners check that out. But when he was doing that, he also looked into the Collins Elite to see, what he could find out about it. And in his research, he reached out to Nick Pope. This is the former director for the UFO Studies Group for the Military Defense of Britain. And Nick cautioned against discrediting this information about the Collins Elite. And he also went further to say that he knew of similar groups in Britain who believe that the phenomenon is, in fact, demonic. He said that it's real and that it's demonic in nature. And then another one Tom contacted was Gregory Richford. This is an advanced flight specialist for Ball Aerospace. So it's a massive contractor with the U.S. government. He also cautioned against disbelief in the Collins Elite type groups. And then he went further to issue a dire warning to be careful in investigating this topic. Because like Justin was mentioned, people have been killed for much less.
Right. Well, there is a scene in the documentary where Tom Horn, who's a frequent guest on Coast to Coast, and I've spoken to him many times myself, where he cautioned both of you of pushing too far in this story.
He did, because he was trying to get to the bottom of this himself, and he kept hitting multiple people that were just like, yeah, this is a very touchy subject. It's hard to get down to the bottom to, and you could open up a door and talk to somebody who is on the other side of the coin, contrary to the Collins Elite, and that's not who you really want to get a hold of.
It hit pretty close to home for Tom. Tell me about his brother-in-law.
Yeah, so it's his sister, Vida. She had some different experiences when she was younger, where some grays came in and basically held her down. There were some sleep paralysis situations, very similar to what you'd hear and different stories of people that are, that are outspoken about their experiences. And so years later, she gets married, and the guy's he was a physicist of some sort. And they moved to Los Alamos, and they're sitting there and they're talking. And he said they were just, having a couple drinks or something. And she started to share her experiences with him. And I believe his name was Joe Trejo. And so Joe, in turn, says that, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm very familiar with this. And he went even further to say that, he's actually working on alien tech, reverse engineering alien tech, which goes along with the scenarios that she was describing. So 48 hours later, Joe disappears, never to be seen again. And there's and Vida's, just losing it. She's like, what do I do? It's my husband. And so she reaches out to Los Alamos. Los Alamos doesn't give her any kind of anything good, to say. They didn't have any information for her. And after a little while, she's wondering where her husband is. She reaches out to the Social Security office because she's assuming that the worst has happened to him. And the Social Security office says, you need to have a death certificate and evidence that your husband has passed in order for us to give you these benefits. And she couldn't get that from Los Alamos. So she's, long story short, back and forth between the two of them. Well, eventually Los Alamos gets in touch with her and says that your husband was actually killed in a tragic accident and we can't give you the details and the body can't be presented. And then a few weeks after that, she gets a call from the Social Security Department. They tell her that she's good to go. No need for the documentation. You're solid. Benefits are, you know, all they're headed your way.
They were afraid that she was going to speak out?
Oh, absolutely. She started rattling the cage. You know, the way this all works, it's all federal compartmentalized. And she began to rattle the cage higher and higher and higher. Now, she actually had a job in the government as well, if I remember correctly. And so she began to kind of rattle the cage, and she kept calling higher and higher and higher. And the word got back to where they finally said, you know what, just give her everything just to shut her up and to keep her from exposing further what's actually taking place here. Because they knew that she knew. You know, we believe that the house was bugged because they were in their home. They were in their private residence. And we believe that once the husband took the job over at Los Alamos, we believe that they came in, secretly and bugged the house.
Right.
Because of the sensitivity of what he was doing there. But interestingly, he's also working, he was working on similar technology that Stan Deo was. Now, Stan Deo was an agent with the FBI, and it was a joint task force between America and Australia. Now, this is fascinating because you have a connection with Britain as well. Now, Stan Deo, some of the stuff he might say sounds crazy to some people, but I want to let everybody know that he was published on a major UK newspaper, front page, full spread, with these other scientists, and they were crediting them for working on anti-gravity technology. Tom Horn told me this. Tom Horn actually had a copy of the newspaper. It burned in his house fire years ago, but he told me. He said this guy had some really good information, and he was literally working with the upper echelon of technology. I mean, unbelievable stuff that this guy had his hands on. But what's fascinating is that he's working on a joint task force with Britain and Australia. Now, these are the three nations that were involved in Operation High Jump. Now, I know we don't have time to talk about that, but Operation High Jump, that is the post-World War II Admiral Byrd, you know, Antarctica UFO battle. We break
right.
this down in our film, Hollow Earth Chronicles, which, by the way, if I could say this real quick, we are running a promo right now on our website, fourthwatchfilms.com, where you can get the combo double feature. You can get Hollow Earth Chronicles, and you can get Higher Entities, and they both – They go so well together with the information.
But fourthwatch.com.
Fourthwatchfilms.com.
Fourthwatchfilms.com. And the other element there with Operation High Jump was that the Nazis somehow, it was presumed that they had a base down there even after the war had ended, and that somehow, and so that the U.S., the Australians, and the Brits went down to finally sort of vanquish the Third Reich, their last stronghold, and they ran into these UFOs. It is theorized that the Nazis had partnered perhaps with the Greys, and basically these UFOs cut the U.S. Navy to shreds.
They saw technology, Richard, down in the Arctic that they had never seen before, and what was supposed to be a very long mission, you know, they sold this to the public as being something different. They said it was going to be an exploratory scientific mission, but they did not go down there with ships for exploratory scientific. They went down there with warships. And what was meant to be a longer mission ended up getting cut severely short. They came back with far less than they left with. And what's crazy is that they saw the technology down there, and there's now eyewitnesses to this technology from Australia, from Britain, and from America. So it's not really that far of a stretch to understand why these three nations are still working together in deep underground military bases in Australia. And so, which by the way, Stan Deo gives a pretty nice disclosure in the film about what he experienced and the people he worked with and the bases. He even talks about brushing shoulders with a male and a female at a United Nations get together that he believes were not from around Earth. That's a whole other topic, but I just want to throw that in there because Stan Deo was working on similar technology in Australia. And his project got disbanded at the drop of a dime, and they literally sent him back to America and told him just, you know, basically run home and never talk about this again. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that you talk about in the film how Stan Deo didn't have, you know, direct knowledge of aliens or these entities in underground bases, but he worked with people who did. But there is an individual that you were sort of tracking or trying to get a hold of in the documentary, mm-hmm. who it is alleged had direct knowledge, who worked with worked in these underground bases and witnessed these, well, Nephilim. Tell me about Greg Renrich.
Greg Renrich had Lieutenant Colonel Greg Renrich. This is a guy who's decorated. He has security clearances that, you know, Steven Spielberg would dream of. I mean, we're talking about, you know, Groom Lake, Area 51, the lowest levels of S4 Dulce. We're talking security clearances that the average American will never even hear about. And what's interesting about Greg Renrich is that he's actually a friend of a friend, Kay Carswell. And Kay and Chad are really, really close. They do a podcast together. And so Chad got in touch with Greg, and he was going to come on camera to talk to us. Basically, he ended up having to cancel last minute and said he couldn't do it because he was in fear of his life. He and his wife were out walking on their ranch, and all of a sudden they get hit with some type of a slime on the back of the neck. And it's a biological weapon, obviously, because they instantly got ill. She was way worse than he was. Matter of fact, when Chad talked to him, he didn't even know if his wife was going to make it through. But praise God, she made it through. But he did not feel comfortable coming on camera with all the things that they were faced with. But what he told us, he said that he came into direct contact in these underground bases. And we're not talking about, you know, first level, second level. We're talking like the level that entities are working on. And if you study underground bases, you'll see that there are different levels, and each level has a different clearance. And what happened was, he said that he came into contact with these 10-foot-tall giants. They referred to themselves as the Nephilim. Now, the Nephilim, that's what we find in the Bible in Genesis chapter 6, where the fallen angels had, you know, relations with the women of Earth, and their offspring were hybrids. They were the Nephilim. They were the giants. Now, they told Greg Renrich that they were preparing for an intergalactic war with God, and that they believed that they were going to win. Now, let's take it a step further of how serious this is. Greg Renrich said that he had to sign an affidavit to where he could not even use the name of Jesus in these bases. He could not even say the name Jesus as a cuss word, because there was power in that name, and these entities didn't want it anywhere near them.
That's interesting, because I've heard from alien abductees, alleged, that that was the only way they could stop an abduction cold in its tracks was by reciting the Jesus prayer.
But it's a telltale sign that we're dealing with something more. It's more grandiose than just mere aliens from another planet. This is something spiritual and respect. And it goes right along with what Tom says about his sister, that once she got saved, that those experiences, the sleep paralysis and the appearance of the grays, they stopped completely.
All right. We're going to take a time out here in just a moment, and we'll open up the phone lines for questions and comments for Justin and Wes Fall, veteran researchers and filmmakers. And the new documentary is Higher Entities, The Lost Tapes. And if you go to fourthwatchfilms.com, there's a special promo there for Coast listeners. You can get a special deal on that documentary. And is it the Hollow Earth Chronicles?
Hollow Earth Chronicles, Episode 1.
Excellent. All right. Back with more in a moment. And if you like what you're hearing tonight and you want to find out more about what I do and how you can listen to some of my other projects, just go to my website, strangeplanet.ca. Strangeplanet.ca. The CA is for Canada. And that's your portal to my weekly syndicated radio program, The Conspiracy Show, my podcast, Conspiracy Unlimited, and the YouTube channel, which is called Strange Planet, my Strange Planet shop. It's all there, strangeplanet.ca. And if you register at strangeplanet.ca, you'll receive my free monthly newsletter, The Inner Sanctum, strangeplanet.ca. Back to more of my conversation with Justin and Wes Fall and your calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Wes and Justin Fall, my guests, and we're talking about their documentary, Higher Entities, The Lost Tapes. As you were describing earlier on, the fallen angels commingling with the daughters of men, we read about this in Genesis. I believe we also read about it in the Book of Enoch, which is, I guess, part of the Apocrypha. It all sounds, what's going on now with the modern day alien abduction phenomena. It's all starting to sound very similar to that. So what are these entities doing? Are they building an army through the alien abduction phenomena, this this hybrid program? Is that what's going on?
I believe absolutely they are. I believe that we have to look to what the prophecies that were written thousands of years ago in the Bible. And we know that there's coming a time on the face of the earth called the tribulation and the great tribulation, where people are not going to be prepared for the things they're going to be seeing. The things that are going to come upon the face of the earth are going to be horrific. And we know that there's going to be an angel that comes down from heaven. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to come down in some type of a flying craft. I don't know. But this angel is going to come down, and it's got a key to the bottomless pit. And when it opens up that bottomless pit, there's going to be all kinds of just horrific things taking place on the face of the earth. Things are going to come up. What the Bible describes is what we would we can only understand as being hybrid creatures, demonic creatures, entities. I need to say something really fast. I don't know how much time we're going to have, but we have not talked about Ray Boucher. But I just want to give a quick drop here. The final interview, we had an exclusive sit down with Ray Boucher, who was the former head of MUFON for his state of Nebraska. He was an Anglican priest, a Baptist pastor. He was an exorcist, and he's a theologian. And he was contacted by two researchers from the Department of Defense. And we believe that they were the last two remaining members of either the Collins Elite or a group very similar to the Collins Elite. And he gives a full disclosure of his private meetings with these two men on camera for the first time. And he explains that they were not just engaging in small little rituals. He said that they were literally getting so engulfed, this group was getting so engulfed in contacting entities. Now, these are government agents working with our tax dollars on government, non-existent government black sites, if you want to call it that, like a you know, one of these black sites where they pop up and they set up shop. And Ray Boucher gave us full disclosure that these two researchers from the DOD gave him detailed statements that they started out with good intentions, but they ended up with a we can do better mentality. And in this, they began to activate psychic abilities. They were trying to force psychic training on people, and they began to engage in what Ray Boucher called satanic worship, involving rituals and rites being produced to invoke and communicate with these higher entities. Now, he said they told the Department of Defense and their group that they were NHEs, non-human entities, and that they said that they got to a point in their research where human sacrifice was engaged in order to get certain things from these entities. And he just he explained things that I had never heard before. You know, you hear ideas of things like this, but to sit in a room and to be able to talk with a guy who met with the Department of Defense, a man who is sincere, who is breaking these things down, and he explained that everything that we gain from these entities brings a price that has to be paid. And he said that these men from the DOD said that. They said that we are paying a price for every gain that we've received from these entities. He says these entities are not neutral. He says that these entities are giving, you know, all this technology and all these ideas to our government, but everything they're giving us is taxing our people physically, emotionally, and psychologically. He says we are paying a price for all of these things, and they needed to talk to Ray Boucher because of his unique background. They needed his input as a consultant on how to deal with some of these things.
It sounds like almost like it's too late, that these people are totally enthralled to these entities or by these entities. My question is, what else is going to come through that opening?
I believe, and as we break down in the film, that these things are trying to bring about this deception, this great deception that there is no God, you know, Jesus isn't real, and that we've got to basically evolve as you know, humanity. We've got to evolve into our own gods. And yep, that's kind of like the age-old lie.
Ray brings up a great point about that deception. He says that since since they're so technologically advanced, they must also be so more spiritually advanced than mankind is as well. Not that Ray believes that, but that's how they're going to be perceived. We even find that members of the Vatican have gone on record saying that we can baptize the ETs. There's another one, I think his name is Giuseppe. He said that these aliens or these extraterrestrials are they're closer to God than we are, and so that we'll need to rewrite the gospel according to whatever they tell us. So it is going to be leading people into this grand deception, which is going to usher in the final beast system. And not to jump around too much, but something you just raised, Richard, about the whole about the purpose of their coming deception.
Right.
Man.
That's okay. Well, you gather your thoughts here. It's
totally
it's
blanked, man. I'm sorry.
No worries. Let's grab a call here. Let's say hi to Linda is in Canada. Linda on the wildcard line. Good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hi. Oh, my God. I can't believe all you gentlemen are saying are so true. The power in Christ's name is terrific. And by the way, what they're doing is preparing unholy ground for the Antichrist to make his entrance. That's what this is all about. Because when he comes, then we will see the most horrible hell on this earth that ever hit. And a lot of people aren't aware. But what you're talking about, you're making them aware. And I have to say about the Nephilim, I have an old King James Bible that is so, the beginning, it's so accurate and more descriptive. And it said the Nephilim was on this earth before the mating. And the mating the mating was done by the supernatural sons of God. And they did it because the people couldn't fight the Nephilim, which were too strong. And the Nephilim, they survived the flood. It says they were here on this earth before the flood and after the flood. So what you're fighting and what you're seeing is a Nephilim, and you're right on that area. And you're you're so much right on. And with Aleister Crowley, he did open a portal, and that's why his peers wouldn't have nothing to do with him. And they said he was the mark of the beast. They said he was 666. And right to the day he died, he had to take enough cocaine for about 12 people, they said, because the energy inside of him was just so overwhelming. And but your radon was so much, I wish you got to come on again and say more.
Okay, Linda, thank you for that. Well, speaking of Crowley, and he performed that, I guess it was the summoning ritual at Boleskine House, which is on the shores of Loch Ness Monster. That house, or Loch Ness, not Loch Ness Monster, on the shores of the Loch Ness, that house was eventually sold to Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin. And he reported all sorts of strange activity because Crowley didn't close the portal there either, did he?
No, and what's fascinating is that when you study the history of American classic rock music, you know, what we call classic rock music today, a lot of the biggest names in classic rock, the Beatles, the Doors, Led Zeppelin, they were in fact disciples of Aleister Crowley. Now, not that they all sat down and met with him, but they were very much in tune with his writings and his works. It's actually very much stated that Led Zeppelin engaged in some what we would call Crowleyan magic, live rituals on stage during some of their concerts. Jimmy Page was really, really big into this.
Right. Well, apparently there was some sort of a ritual that he performed with the other members of the band at Boleskine House. The only one who refused to participate, according to the legend, was John Paul Jones, the bass player, and he seemed to have escaped all of the tragedy that befell the other members. John Bonham, of course, died. Robert Plant, his son died tragically at a very young age. Robert Plant was involved in a number of near-death auto accidents. Jimmy Page, of course, became addicted to drugs, and his career kind of stalled. So that may have all originated at Boleskine House. Let's grab a quick call here. Michael is in Virginia Beach. Michael, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Thank you so much, Richard. You're the best. Your guests, I want to commend you for your bravery. But I must also give you a criticism. Jesus said he was not going to come back until we say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the book of Revelation, the true Christians are the one who say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Why are you not advising the Christians in this audience to do on the opposite side of what Jack Parsons did and call on Jesus to come back and end this terrible suffering on this earth, which should have begun as a call when we opened up the death camps of Hitler.
All right, Michael, thank you for that. Wes and Justin, you want to respond to Michael?
Well, first of all, you know, we appreciate the call, Michael. You know, the purpose, we're trying to explain, you know, the synopsis of our research and how it relates to Bible prophecy. You know, obviously we do believe that Jesus Christ is coming back. We believe he's the only way to salvation. We absolutely believe we're living in the end times. There's no doubt about that. And all of these things we're talking about tonight, they are literally proving that what the Bible says is true. So, you know, I appreciate your zeal, you know, and, you know, not that I disagree with you, but, you know, we are on Richard's program and we are being interviewed on specific topics.
All right. Let's say hi to Carlos in Carson, California. Carlos, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Yeah, good evening, gentlemen. Great program. You know, I don't believe that Jack Parsons accidentally blew himself. I think he offered himself as a burnt offering, as a satanic burnt offering, akin to the movie The Wicker Man, where they had burnt offering and some of these religious cults like the Druids engage in. But my question is, he was involved in the creation of the golem. Is that synonymous with the Whore of Babylon that you were talking about in the opening of the portal?
Thank you, Carlos, for that.
I think that would be two different things. The Whore of Babylon was specifically to bring through and to incarnate the Whore of Babylon, the Scarlet Woman, into human form, so that in given time that they could usher in the age of the Antichrist. So I think it'd be two different things in accordance with that. And that's very fascinating on the idea that he offered himself as a sacrifice. I never really thought about that before.
And just real quick, considering the whole Whore of Babylon scenario, again, all of these things that are taking place, that have taken place, especially going back to Jack Parsons, he literally believed what so many occultists believe, and that is that Lucifer is the master. Okay, Lucifer is actually not the bad guy in their belief system. They believe that we've got it twisted in Christianity. And so when they believe Lucifer is the good guy, that he's the master, and that he is going to be setting up his kingdom on earth, they are just as adamant about bringing forth the kingdom of Lucifer and his fallen, you know, these other fallen entities with him. And so that's literally their plan, is to set up that kingdom on earth. And as Parson said, that, you know, these UFOs were going to be, you know, widely used in the converting the world into Crowleyanity. These people really believed, with everything that they had in them, they believed that this was good. They believed that this was the best path, and what people would call the left-hand path of magic. They believed that this was good, that this was honest, and that this was true. So they literally held the opposite view of Christianity. So Lucifer, they believe, was bringing the light. You know, that's what his name, you know, means in Latin, the light bringer, the light bearer. And so it was all part of their end game, but they didn't see it as an end game. They saw it as setting up the world in their occultic utopia, if you will. But the Bible says that when that takes place, it's going to be a big deception. It's going to be that last little go about, you know, before Christ returns.
But the good news is Christ is going to return, and he's going to destroy them with the brightness of his coming. And specifically with the Antichrist, it says that his destiny is destruction.
So in terms of disclosure, is this why we can't have disclosure? We can't have the president basically admitting, you know, to the people of the world that we are in the throes of essentially a worldwide demonic possession. I mean, he can't say that.
No, but it's interesting because the Pentagon did release, and, you know, Tom Horn mentioned this in the film, the Pentagon had released some statements about some UFO activity, and they said basically that it's either God or it's the devil. So that's pretty recent too, and I'm paraphrasing. I'm not giving a word for word quote, but that's the general consensus of what they said publicly. It's pretty much either the God, or they said it's God, or it's the devil. And I found that very fascinating, because they're recognizing that these things are supernatural in their origin point.
One quick call from George in Corpus Christi. George, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
Hi, good morning. Simple question, because I know the chime's been out, but what's going on right now, the ominous question is about the coronavirus. Is there any relation to this and to these interdimensional tied to our government and, you know, the deep state and all this stuff? And I'll hang up and I'll listen to you guys. Thank
George, thank you for that. All right, Wes and Justin, go ahead.
As far as I know, there's really no connection there. I don't know enough about the coronavirus to really speak on it.
The legend of Valiant Thor, who took up residence, we're told, in the White House. He was this alien and, you know, met frequently with President Eisenhower and so forth. Is there any credence to that story? And then I guess the logical conclusion would be that he was then demonic, I guess, right?
Yeah, so Chad Riley has he's presented some pretty good information to me about Valiant Thor, enough information to believe that there's actually something going on there. I would not write it off by any means, especially knowing what we know about Eisenhower and the fact that he did meet with Nordics and he did meet with Gray. So, yeah, I absolutely believe that there's definitely some truth to this Valiant Thor. And we're possibly going to get into a little bit of that in our upcoming film. I can't speak too much about that right now. But I want to make a quick comment on some of these things. The things that are happening right now, to think that the name of Jesus could stop an alien abduction, to think that the name of Jesus can cast demons out of people, that name can stop sleep paralysis. Think about how powerful it's going to be when Christ returns, just like he said he would. All the prophecies in the Bible are being fulfilled, unlike any other book in the world. There's no other book in any other religion that has this many prophecies that line up perfectly that are being fulfilled. I mean, I could go on that for hours. But my point of the matter is, if his name alone, if there's so much power in the name of Jesus to be able to silence these demons and to be able to stop the attacks, imagine the power he's going to come with when he returns. And this cosmic war is going to be culminating right here. And what's fascinating about that is that the FBI document that came out in 1999, I believe it was, Project Megiddo, they released this document saying that if you believe in a second coming of Christ, a physical second coming of Christ, where Christ is going to take out a war against the wicked governments of the world, the FBI deems you a terroristic threat to the United States government.
All right. We'll have to put a wrap on it right there. Justin and Wes, we are out of time, but thank you so much. We'll have to do this again. FourthWatchFilms.com. Higher Entities, The Lost Tapes. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Ian Punnett. You know, those Jayhawkers are pretty tasty, too. Lisa Lyon, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Dan Galante, Chris Burrows, Sean Latticer, Michael Cozio, and Miranda Moreno. Miranda Moreno. And here in Toronto, Mike Ben Dixon, Robert Turner, and Patrick O'Neill. I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your ears and your voices, your beautiful voices. Until tonight, when we do this all again, so long for now.